I want you to look again, if you would, this morning, verse 15 of this text. You'll notice the psalmist makes a very intriguing and spiritually significant statement about the people of God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, as the heading of this chapter notes, if you look at it very carefully, Psalm 89 was written by a Levite, an Ezrahite, a musician, by the name of Ethan. A maskil was a teaching psalm, a musical psalm. It was inspired by God at a time when the Israelites were struggling mightily with their circumstances. And specifically, they were struggling with the apparent demise of the Davidic kingdom. In other words, they didn't understand this. They did not understand why God was not apparently keeping his covenant with King David, and so they were experiencing the age-old conflict between the promises of a faithful and loving God and, on the other hand, the problems and the catastrophes that occur around the people of God. And so this psalm, in it, God speaks to Ethan 10 times about divine faithfulness. He speaks 4 times about, specifically, about his covenant, and 3 times about his power. And it's at that point that Ethan the Ezrahite makes this very powerful statement about the children of God, the people of God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In other words, in the midst of a very questionable and perplexing situation, Ethan realized that there were some in the land, as there ought to be all in the land, some of God's people, who didn't just see the problems, they didn't just see the contradictions and the darkness, because there were, in fact, some who walked in the light of God's countenance. That means that they did not see the enemy's face first and foremost. They didn't see man's face or the adversary's face or the countenance of corruption. They saw, not only saw, they heard, they walked in the countenance, in the light of the face of God. And who were these blessed people? Who among God's people were those who saw beyond the paganism, beyond the politics and the pride and the problems and the Putins and all the other alliterated P's I could put in there, those who, as verse 16 says, in thy name, look at it, they shall rejoice all the day. Well, it's a crucial question in this day and age, and it's one we want to answer, if we may, by the grace of God, from the Word of God. And I hope you listen very carefully. I want to speak on the subject, I know that sound. I know that sound. You know, there is a difference this morning between hearing a sound and knowing a sound. A baby may hear someone's voice, but that baby knows their mother's voice. A civilian may hear a trumpet blast, but the cavalry knows that sound. Bystanders may hear the voice of a man, but the sheep hear and know the voice of their shepherd. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, first he heard a voice, and then he knew that voice. And so it is this morning that I'm speaking to a lot of people today, a lot of folks in this room right now who know. You know the joyful sound. Father, please help us. We need your help today, as always, and I pray you'll open our hearts to the power and the truth of this great psalm. May we understand it as never before, and understanding it, walk out of these doors, as the scripture says in verse 16, in your name we will rejoice all the day, by walking in the light of your countenance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed is the people, Ethan said, that know the joyful sound. And of course, the question that seems obvious to me, at least, is what exactly is this sound? What joyful sound? What noise, what voice or music or notes is described in this text as, quote, joyful and is known by the blessed ones in the land? Because, folks, I can tell you right now that there are a lot of sounds that I know that are far from blessed to my ear. For example, this sound right here, especially on a day like today when we moved our clocks ahead an hour. Hear that sound? I hate that sound. That's my alarm clock going off at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I despise it with all of my heart. There's another sound that I hate, by the way, and it's this sound. That's the sound of your cell phone going off during church. I despise that sound. That's not the only one I despise. There's another one I despise, by the way, this sound right here. You know what that is? That's my ringtone for when Remo calls me, amen? There's one other sound I despise more than that ringtone from Remo, and that's this sound. Can't hear it? I can't hear it. There it is. That's the sound of Remo ringing my doorbell, amen? But who are these people? Who are they in this text? Ethan says there is a sound that separates those who walk in darkness and those who walk in the light of God's countenance. What a beautiful picture, by the way. What is this sound? Well, you know, whenever a Levite, and especially a Levite musician, talks about a sound, it would make sense to consider the Levite book being the book of Leviticus. And yes, there you will find the joyful sound. It is the sound that was first made on the very first day of the seventh month. It was the sound of a trumpet. As a matter of fact, ever since God first led his own people out of the land of Egypt, God chose as the single most important sound to all of his people being the sound of the blowing of trumpets. Trumpet sounds would signal the people to move. It was a trumpet sound that would signal the people to wait, to pray, to offer sacrifices, to go into battle, to rejoice. In Leviticus 22, it says, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." Listen to what it says in Numbers 10. "Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your month, ye shall blow with the trumpets over the burnt offering and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for memorial before your God. I am the Lord thy God." And we could go on and on. That's the way it was. This sound of a trumpet meant everything, everything to and for the people of God. And folks, the reason for that is that it communicated, if you will, the word and thus the will of God. It was a sound that reminded the godly Israelite that God was with them, that God was leading them, that God loved them. And so just when it seemed that they had tarried for a long time in the same place, or that the present enemy before them was far too powerful, or that their supply and their substance was all but gone, just when it seemed that no one cared, all of a sudden they would hear that sound according to God's word. And again, for the godly ones, that very sound would bring chills of hope and of joy, of courage, and a renewed strength in their heart and soul. They were the ones who knew the sound. They didn't just hear it like the backsliders or like the enemies of God. They knew it. They recognized it. They understood it. And folks, because they knew it for what it was, that joyful sound, they were able, as it says in the text, to walk in the light of God's own countenance. Blessed, it's a beatitude. Happy is the people who know the joyful sound. And that is why this chapter, instead of being a psalm of gloom and doubt and despair, as it may appear to be to some, it's actually a psalm of deliverance, of direction, and of destination. You notice there in verse 1, the word faithfulness. Notice in verse 2, thy faithfulness. Verse 3, there's the word covenant. You see verse 5, thy faithfulness again. Verse 8, thy faithfulness again. This is what the sound of the trumpet meant to the people of God. And yes, it was even true when that very same sound would signal an alarm, when it would signal to battle, signal the stopping and waiting on their great journey and the beginning of what's called a solemn day. Even then, it was described as a joyful sound. Why? Because, folks, think about it. It instantly reminded them of who they were. They weren't just a rabble out in the desert. They weren't just this little tiny nation waiting to be destroyed. They weren't just an accident or a product of evolution. They were, in fact, the very people of God. They were the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. When God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the Bible says that the people saw They saw lightnings and they saw smoke, but it says they heard the noise of a trumpet. And when that happened, verse 18 says that they removed afar off. Was that, Pastor, was that sound of a trumpet a joyful sound? Yes, but only to those who knew the sound. You see, that sound described there at the very beginning of Scripture is also described at the very end of Scripture. When Jesus says in Revelation 1:10 and Revelation 4:1, I heard a great voice as of a trumpet. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, but with the trump of God. Not the trump of an archangel, but with the trumpet of God himself. In other words, the sound that God's people heard in the Old Testament was a sound that represented God's very voice, God's word, so that what they saw every day with their eyes, ladies and gentlemen, may have been a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, but what they heard every day was this trumpet and this sound. And again, those who knew that sound, they didn't just hear the sound, they knew it. They were filled with joy because that sound, again, represented what they needed. And what they needed was God's actual voice guiding them. And by representing God's word, they were able to walk not in man's wisdom, not in the world's advice, not in the darkness of human counsel. They walked, verse 15, in the light of God's countenance. Beloved, I want you to hear me very carefully. We are living in very uncertain times today. At least uncertain as the world sees it. These are definitely times of tremendous spiritual darkness. These are times just like those of Ethan when people mock and deny the covenant of God. And all over this land today, in every area of society, there are sounds, foreign sounds, godless sounds, even rebellious sounds. There are the sounds of compromise and sounds of paganism. There are the sounds that Moses heard as he came down from Mount Sinai, the sounds of greed and selfish pleasure. Everywhere you turn these days, there are the sounds of those who hate this book. There are the sounds of those who hate the God of this book, who even hate the people of this book. And those sounds, ladies and gentlemen, are growing louder and stronger every day, exactly as God said that they would. And for a godly young couple, for a godly teenager, for a faithful, godly Christian, these sounds of murmuring and scorn and rebellion, they have the potential of discouraging or misdirecting or deceiving them. But this morning, I want you to listen what God says in His Word. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. In other words, blessed are those who know the voice of God. Blessed are those who, even in the midst of all the noise, can hear and know the words and the voice of God Himself. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you again, this book is the voice of God. This book shows the very face of God and His countenance. So that, you know what? God knew that these Israelites, He knew that they would need this trumpet, just like they would need that pillar of fire and cloud. He knew that they would need to hear its sound every day. Its sound was a reminder to them. It was a warning. It was a wake-up call. It was a comfort. It was a reassurance. It was a sound that sent them in the right direction for all of the right reasons. It was a sound that reminded them not to look only at the circumstances alone, but to look at everything else around them in the light of God's countenance. Look at verse 49. What man, this is Ethan speaking, what man is he that liveth? I'm sorry, verse 49. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Notice the questioning. Where are your former loving kindness that you swear to David? Here is Ethan questioning their province and their providence. Look at verse 50. Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants. How do you bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people? Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. In other words, you know what Ethan's been doing? He's been watching too much MSNBC. Ethan just read an editorial in the Palm Beach Post. His wife just listened to the women on The View or whatever. He had simply heard maybe the guys at work, some of whom, who had just read the headlines about what's going on in Washington, D.C. You say, but Pastor, that's why this psalm is so discouraging and despairing. I mean, this man, Ethan, must have just thrown in a towel and thought, if you can't beat the majority, then you might as well join the majority. Verse 46, again, how long, O Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like a fire? How long? You see, Ethan asked questions. Yes, he did. Ethan was dismayed. He was disturbed by the world's events. He was a believer, folks. He should have been disturbed. But let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't despair. He did not quit. He did not grow bitter or cynical or scornful, because, ladies and gentlemen, Psalm 89, guess what? It doesn't end with that question in verse 49. It ends with Ethan stating and embracing the truth of verse 52. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And God's people said, amen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Ethan knew the joyful sound. And anybody who hears and who knows the voice of God, anybody who knows the word of God, can always, always walk every day in the light of God's countenance. You see, Pastor, why would God use a trumpet? I mean, that's such a loud, clear sound to represent his voice. Why? How does a trumpet sound become a joyful noise? Well, folks, if you think about the people of God, not just the nation of Israel, but all of us as people of God, think about how we are. In the Old Testament, God was always, constantly having to remind them. He was always having to tell them and tell them and tell them and tell them who they were. Who they were and what they were to do and what they were to be. When Ethan speaks of the trumpet sound that was used as that very reminder, yes, indeed, he calls it a joyful sound, just like those who come to church. And they hear the word of God, and sometimes the word of God just steps on your toes, does it not? But a godly Christian walks out the doors, and they don't say, I'll never go back there again. Stepped on my toes. They say, I'm glad I went there. I needed that. To them, it's a joyful sound. God calls people who know the joyful sound a blessed people. This is true today, because in this world of sin and darkness, there is a people, they're not perfect, far from it, but there is a people who walk in the light of God's countenance. My burden and my prayer for all of us here today is that we would be among those blessed people until Jesus returns again and we hear that trumpet sound at the end. That means this. That means, number one, you have to be able to hear the sound. Number two, you have to be able to know the sound. And number three, you have to be willing to walk in the sound. Look at verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There are some folks in this room. Do you know why you're not walking in victory? Do you know why you're not walking in God's light? Because only occasionally do you hear the joyful sound, the word of God? Only occasionally. You see, for an Israelite to hear the trumpet, he first had to be in the camp. He had to be near that trumpet. And ladies and gentlemen, God has a camp today. God has a congregation today. Jesus said in Revelation 3:22, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Unto the churches. And he was talking to local churches in the book of Revelation. Now look, that doesn't mean that God only speaks to a congregation. That's not true. But it is a reminder that he does speak in church. And when the trumpet is sounded, you should be near that trumpet. Some of you young people here, teenagers, college, do you want to make a vow in your youth, in your zeal, in your youth, that will make a very powerful difference in your life, a true difference? Oh, Pastor, yeah, I made a vow. I'm going to be a vegan. Fine. I made a vow. I'm going to lower my carbon footprint. I'm going to I'm going to really use less electricity and turn off the lights and drive an electric car. Go for it. I made a vow in my youth. I'm going to adopt a dolphin and I'm going to raise him and I'm going to adopt little animals. Okay, that's fine. But let me tell you about a powerful vow. Let me tell you something that will make a difference in your life forever and for eternity. You decide right now while you're young that when you're old enough to actually choose when to come to church, decide now that you're not going to be the typical once in a while pop in and out Christian young person. Decide that you will be in church more than when your parents require now. Why? Because in this dark world, you need the light of God's face. There are three sources of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. The scripture says it. And Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. You want to be around God's light, then you get around the Bible. You get around the Lord Jesus, and you get around God's people. Ye are the light of the world. And you will walk in the countenance, and in this dark world, you need the word of God. You need to be able to hear the sound. You have to be able to know that sound. And then you have to be willing to walk in that sound. You know, sometimes Israel's enemies at Jericho or Midian and wherever, they heard the trumpet. They heard that trumpet sound, but they didn't know the sound. It didn't mean anything to them. Consequently, they could not walk in the light of God's righteousness and countenance. But instead, you know what they did? They walked in their darkness. They walked in their empty, foolish philosophies and idolatries of men. I was reading in 1 Timothy early this week, and what Paul said to Timothy about wholesome words. He said, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said in 1 Timothy 6? If any man does not consent to, quote, wholesome words, he is proud, he doesn't know anything, he causes strife and envy and fights and evil conjectures. And then in verse 5 he says, he is perverse and has a corrupt mind, destitute of the truth. Wow. All of that describes a person who does not consent to, quote, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus. Well, I looked up the word wholesome. Do you know what it means, that Greek word? It means sound, real. It literally means hollow, not hollow, as in solid, solid words. 150 years ago, when gold was used in fiat currency, people would bite down on a gold coin. You saw with that lady, that family found all those gold coins, millions of dollars worth of gold coins. Chris Hammond wants all of every single one of those. He collects coins. Yeah, they'd bite down to find out, make sure it was solid and not hollow. I was a welder, and they sometimes on the vertical weld, they would x-ray to make sure that it was solid and not hollow. Solid oak is more real, more true than hollow wood. And of course, the greatest tragedy of all to me, you bite into a solid milk chocolate bunny and you find out it's hollow. That's wrong, amen? But that word Paul used is talking about the contrast between things that are realistic but not real. Artificial, faux, counterfeit, phony, whatever the synonym, it is that which exists in this world in contradistinction to the truth of God. And as such, it always presents not just a lie, beloved, but a dangerous lie. Some things in life, words are hollow. Other things are wholesome. You ever go to a place, you see crab salad, but it's spelled with a K? The little red stripes are painted on, and it's mushy and spongy. It's not real. There's real marble, genuine leather, solid brick. There's faux marble, faux brick. There's imitation leather. I had a baseball glove once that said, right in the glove, real imitation leather. Amen, whatever that is. And you don't see Mercedes advertising the interior is 100% naugahyde. Plastic leather back in the 60s, 70s was called pleather. Remember that? It wasn't real. Coca-Cola has a slogan that says it's the real thing. And I've got to tell you, you know, when I go to the church picnic and I see that Winn-Dixie cola, that's not the real thing. Stop bringing that stuff. Look how cheap it is. We live in a world that's full of words, and they sound spiritual. They're realistic. They sound good. You turn on a TV preacher and he doesn't teach or preach the Bible. He just uses the Bible. It's just a springboard to go off into space, never to return again to the Bible. There are things that are real and realistic. We're talking about the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian in this room, hear the joyful sound. Hear it often. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then know that joyful sound. The Scripture says, walk in that joyful sound. Walk in the light of God's countenance. Some of you here today, without a doubt, some of you may be hearing it. You're hearing Scripture today, but you don't know it. I said earlier, I noted that there's a big difference between hearing a sound and knowing a sound. A baby may hear voices, but a baby knows the voice of its mother or its father. Some of you in this room today don't really know the voice of God. I didn't at one time. I did not know the voice of God. I can remember going to chapel. My dad was in the Air Force, and we went to chapel a few times, and they would stand up and read some scripture, and it was like going in one ear and out there. It meant nothing to me. Some of you today don't know the voice of God. May I say this? You will not know it. You may hear it, but you will never know it until you become one of His own. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." It's interesting, we sang a hymn, the opening hymn this morning. 18th century, a woman named Priscilla Owens was asked to write a song for a soul-winning meeting in Baltimore. For over 50 years, she had taught Sunday school and always had a burden for lost children. She wrote the hymn that begins with the words, "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." And may I say, this is the very first joyful sound that God wants many of you here to listen to today. When the trumpet was sounded at Jubilee in the Old Testament, that trumpet sound meant that the captives were set free. This is exactly what God's salvation is. God wants to set you free from sin and from judgment. And I ask you today, if you're here and you hear the words of God, you hear the gospel, you hear the truth, today can be the day when you know the Christ of the gospel, when you will know the joyful sound. Be saved today. Christian in this room, I want to remind you, you and I cannot afford to be adrift today. You cannot afford to go without the light of God's face, and that means you cannot afford to go without this book and the clarion call that it alone provides for a believer. And that means that you cannot afford to go alone out into this world without the fellowship of God's people and the local New Testament church, which Christ loved and gave Himself for. God calls you to hear. Look, I know there's a lot of noise in this world today. And there's a growing cacophony of noise in this society in particular that hate this book and hate the people of this book, even though the people of this book are the salt of the earth. Because truly, Christ said they hated me before they hated you. In the midst of all this noise, it's imperative that you hear and you know and you walk in the joyful sound. Every single, they didn't hear the trumpet once a month. They didn't hear the trumpet on Christmas and Easter. They didn't hear the trumpet whenever it was convenient. They heard it every single day and sometimes more than once a day. May that be true of all of us. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful today for your goodness to us. We are thankful that there was a time in all of our lives when we heard the trumpet sound. But far greater was when you caused it through your grace and mercy, are not only hearing it, but knowing it. And now it became this joyful sound, and it is a sound that we hear every day. I pray, Father, that we'll be faithful to your word, to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ every day. May we not neglect the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For those who have asked for prayer as your people, Lord, draw them to you. And so many, Father, so many today
raised their hands a moment ago and said, pray for me and my salvation, and we do. We ask, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to their hearts till they recognize that they have sinned, that we're all sinners, that there's a payment for sin, but that your Son paid. He paid it all. May they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. We'll praise you for the fruit that remains because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Hey, are you glad you're saved? Amen. Greet our visitors and fellowship. You're dismissed. God bless you.